strength of my life, day and night. No need to be afraid. Oh, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Oh, he's the strength of my life, day and night. No need to be afraid. I have a secret place where I seek my God's face. He gives me peace for my troubled mind. He carries me over mountains. He comforts me through the valley. When I'm going through a storm, I'm protected in his arms. Oh, my Father loves me. That's why I say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Yes, he is. So whom shall I fear? Oh, no, no. The strength of my life, day and night. There's no need to be afraid. When evil tries to destroy me, try to make me fall, he puts me on a rock out of the reach of them all. When my enemies try to hurt me, I don't have to worry, 'cause I'm in his care, not just here, but everywhere. Yes, 'cause I am going to that hiding place where I seek my God's face. I find the strength to go on because he carries me over mountains. He comforts me through the valley. When I'm going through a storm, I'm protected in his arms. Oh, don't you know that he is my light? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Yes, he is. Whom shall I fear? He's my strength, my strong tower, and he's my hiding place. From day to day, he is my strength. The Lord's my strong tower. And you know what? Though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, don't you know that you're not alone? The strength of my life, night and day, day and night. Yeah, there's no need to be afraid. The Lord, he is my light, he is my salvation. Oh yeah. So whom shall I fear? No, he's the strength. There's no need to be afraid. The valley, when I'm going through a storm, protected in his arms. Oh, don't you know that he is my light? The Lord is my light and my salvation. strong tower, and he's my hiding place from day to day. He is my strength, the Lord's my strong tower. And you know what? Though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, don't you know that you're not alone? The Lord is my light, he's my salvation. So whom shall I fear? No, 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 no. He's the strength of my life, night and day, day and night. Yeah, there's no need to be. So whom shall I be? No, 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 no. I'm protected in his arms. Oh, don't you know that he is my light? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Yes, he is. Whom shall I be? He is my strength, my strong. And he's my hiding place from day to day. He is my strength, the Lord's my strong tower. And you know what? Though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, don't you know that you're not alone? The
no, 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 not one. No, no, not one. No, no, not one.
See, there's nobody, nobody like my Jesus. No, no, not one. No, not one. Nobody can heal all our souls' diseases. No, no, not one. No, not one. See, I've been around the world and I can't find nobody. Nobody like him. Nobody like him. If you will try him, you would see that he is all that you'll ever need. No, not one. No, not one. No, 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 no. No, no, no. No, 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 no. There's nobody, nobody like Jesus. No, not one. No, not one, not one. Nobody can heal my soul's diseases. No, not one. No.
I've been around the world and I can't find. Nobody like him. You can search high and low and far and wide. You find he is all that you need. There's no, not one. No, not one. Can you help me say there's nobody? Nobody like Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Nobody can heal our soul's diseases. No, not one.
Fantastic. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for blessing us this morning with your presence and your holy written word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Attempt great things for God. I'm going to give you 15 things to attempt. And then the camp will be over. By the time we finish, we are done. Amen. Now, number one. Attempt to fulfill a great prophecy. A great prophecy. What great prophecy is this? A great prophecy given by Jesus. Amen. John chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse 11. John chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe me for the very works sake. For verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ is the greatest prophet, Hebrew prophet, Jewish prophet, Israeli prophet. Jesus Christ, the greatest prophet. Jesus Christ, the most famous Jew. Many Jews have existed, lived. Many Jews have done great things. Israelis. Today, Israel is famous. It's in the news every day. You cannot say 1 week without Israel being in the news. But there are many countries which are even bigger. They are not in the news every day. But Israel is in the news every day. It's a very important place. From there came our Savior. Right? It's God has chosen a nation to do great things. All right? And out of that nation, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Isaac. All the names we know today. All over the world. They are all Jewish names. You may not know. Peter, John, James. They are all Jewish names. Alright? And when you go to Israel, you find a name that is not popular is Paul. Because Paul is the one who explained to the rest of the world that we are also Jews. So they are not so happy about that. That we found out that we are adopted as God's people as well. So I think it pains them quite a bit. So you rarely find a Jew called Paul. Yeah. But you find all the other names. Now, Jesus Christ made many predictions. And many of them are happening. And have happened. And always happen. And one of the things he said was, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works. Jesus Christ was known to have done great works. Many times he healed people. He did things. People would say, go and say what great things the Lord has done for you. So he has done great things. It's a song we say, he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. All right? So we sing that song and we know that Jesus Christ is a doer of great things or great works, mighty works. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1, Mark 6, verse 1, put it up. Look at it. It says, and he went from thence to his own country, and his disciples followed him. Verse 2, beautiful. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this is given to him, that such mighty works or great works. I'm sure some other versions will say great works. All right, find some other version. Let's see what you got. Where did he get all this? Okay, yeah, perform such miracles. Okay, anyway, so it says what that such mighty works have been done. So, when you are following Jesus, right, you are following someone who did mighty works. So, we are not going to go out of this world without doing mighty works. So, if you live your life without doing mighty works, it's your fault. Because Jesus prophesied that he that believes in me, the mighty works that I do, he will do them also. Amen. So when I come and I share with you and I say, attempt great things for God. Wow. I am actually walking exactly in the words of Jesus and saying to you, attempt to fulfill John 14 verse 12. Wow. That the works that I do, you shall do, and greater. Greater works than these shall you do. So I'm actually telling you, attempt. So the first attempt that I want you to make for your life is attempt to fulfill this prophecy. Yes. Attempt to fulfill this great prophecy that Jesus did. Don't live your life, end your life without attempting to fulfill the prophecy of Jesus. Now, I want you to know that you have not been brought into this world to be a useless person who does nothing good. That is not your future. Amen. That is not your destiny. Amen. 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 Because your destiny is all over the Bible. And Jesus said about you, you are the salt of the world. If you are the salt of the world, it means you are the salt of the world. It means people can't do without you. Can you imagine without salt? You see, you not know the importance of things till you don't have it. So when you have food without salt, I don't know if you have Indians here. You have Indians here? Yeah. So one time I went to a country, you know, and they came to give some food there, and the food was without salt. You know, there was some curry and some whatever, and it was, there was no salt. And I heard that they don't use salt. You don't use salt here? You don't use salt here? You use salt here? Well, I didn't. They said, that's how we do it here. I said, wow. And you know the difference. Yeah. So, when you are the salt of the world, you are like essential. Receive it in Jesus' name. Like you are necessary for Australia. You are necessary for the islands. You are necessary for the Pacific. That the Pacific cannot do without you. Yes. Because you are, this is what Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. Amen.
Amen.
When I mention a scripture, who is the one doing the screen? You. You know the Bible, then you find it. As a born-again Christian. And you put it up there, even if I don't say it. As a born. So we'll see how your knowledge of scripture is. When I mention the scripture, I don't have to mention the verse. You just put it up. Salt of the world. Just put it up. Don't wait for me to give you the reference. Who is the one doing it? Which of you? You. All right. Shh. All right. Amen. So we are waiting for salt of the world. For the salt of the world. We are waiting. We've been saying salt of the world for some time, and we are still waiting. So we have to change to somebody who knows the word of God. Aha. Now, so you are the salt of the world, of the earth. All right? You are now, that's your destiny.
Amen.
To do great things.
Amen.
To be essential.
Amen.
You are the light of the world.
Amen.
I didn't say all these things. I told you, don't listen to me. Listen to Jesus.
Yeah.
If you want to be angry with somebody, be angry with Jesus. All right? You are the light of the world. Where is the man? You are the light of the world.
The screen is frozen.
Now, if you are the light, can you imagine without you, there's going to be blackouts? Do you want there to be a blackout on your island? Blackout on Papua New Guinea, blackout on Fiji, blackout on Tahiti. No, that's the wrong scripture. That's the wrong scripture. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Huh? Okay. All right. I think the scripture knowledge is not. It was the very next verse. We need a Bible knowledge person at the back there. Now, you are the light of the world. So Jesus prophesied that the works I do, you shall do, which is great works. So when you are attempting great things, you are just attempting to fulfill this prophecy of becoming a light to the world. A candle in the dark. Amen. So attempt. You know, when we had a camp some years ago, you may not know, Australia is quite far from the rest of the world. Yes, it takes quite some time to get here. Yes. So for us to be on the other side of the world and attempt to be a light here, you see, it's an attempt. Yes. And you see, I like the word attempt because it means try. Yes. Try. At least try with your life. You are not meant to be a prostitute. You are not meant to be a drug addict. You are not meant to be any of these accursed situations. You are not meant to be something different from you were created to be. You are created for something great. So when I say attempt great things, attempt to fulfill this prophecy, try. Then the next one, let's see if I can find the scripture. It's going to be easy for him if he wants to. Okay. Your destiny is to be a city set on a hill. Have you found it? Look for it. It's looking. Have you found it? Do you know where it is? Have you found it? It is there already. Now, what is a city set on a hill? A city set on a hill is a city that everybody passes by and points to. Say, wow, do you see that? It's outstanding. You are destined to be outstanding. Outstanding. And I want you to believe in 23 years from now, 23 years from now, you will be declared outstanding by people who will be looking at you. You will wonder and you will be amazed. Yes. Yes. Amen. Sit down. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. So you are destined to be a city, a whole city, a source of attraction. Instead of you talking about Princess Merkel, Meghan, people would rather be talking about you. Instead of you talking about people, people will be talking about you. Because you'll be outstanding. People will be tweeting about you. People will be looking at your Facebook. People will be saying, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. Amen. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. This is your destiny. And so that is all I'm saying is attempt to fulfill a great prophecy. Amen. Sit down. You know, some years ago, a brother came to see me. I was in school. I must have been, how old must I have been? I was less than 18 years old. Probably, most likely. And he came to see me and told me that he had had a vision about me. And in the vision, he saw me. I was in secondary school. What do you call it here? high school, in the vision, he saw me holding a torch. And the torch had fire. You know that type of torch, the old type of torch. Yeah. Not the this type. This type. The old type. And a lot of people were following me. Yeah. So, you must try with your life to fulfill good prophecies that are given about you. Now, you don't need anybody to come and tell you a dream. When he told me that, because I had a kind of father who always advised me, said, when you don't understand something from the Bible, just put it in the wardrobe, put it in the cupboard, and leave it there. Later on, you probably find it easy to understand. So don't struggle with things you don't understand. So when somebody gives you a dream, whatever, you know, you don't understand it, just put it in a cupboard and leave it. So when he told me that I'm going to be holding a torch, I said, okay, it's wonderful, thank you. I hope it's a good thing. And if it's a good thing, I receive it. If it's a bad thing, I block it. Yeah. So, Jesus has already prophesied about you. Amen. That you are the light of the world. Amen. Which means, like, without you, like, there's just darkness. Yes, like, without you, there's, like, real darkness. It's very wild. I mean, that's really, really wild. Like, without you, like, it's real darkness. He already prophesied that you are the salt. That means like you are the main thing that's going to make life possible and tolerable. You see, rice without salt, things without salt, French fries without salt, everything's like it's almost intolerable. 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 Can't tolerate it. How many have had food and you just... it's not nice. You just leave it. I mean, some of us eat everything. Whatever it is. You are like a crocodile. You know crocodiles don't chew. They never chew anything. Crocodiles don't chew anything. Yes. They just swallow. They lift it up. And then it goes down. They don't swallow needle. Nothing. And some of us are like crocodile. But if you are not like a crocodile, and you don't just swallow everything, you taste some food and you realize, no, I can't eat this food. It's just not nice. It's intolerable. So a lot of people are going to find life intolerable without you. That's what it means. When Jesus says you are the salt of this world, it's like, I can't live. I don't want to live without... if they hadn't met you. Wow. If they hadn't met you. Yeah. That's what it means. You see, people don't take Jesus seriously. And you're going to regret not taking Jesus seriously. They're going to regret not taking Jesus seriously. Most of the prophecies are given to people that they didn't take seriously. Most of the people regret. Because you see, now... I've been a pastor since I was 25. I'm 55. So I've been for 30 years. The same people. Most of the people that didn't believe what I said have regretted. Even they are regretting now. But eternity will be the great regret. Many of my pastors will regret in eternity. I'm sure of that. They will regret. Some will regret here, but a lot will regret there. They didn't believe the things. Some of them do this. Come, go, this. No, believe it. Yeah. So, your destiny is something wonderful. And God really wants to use you. And when you hear a prophecy, you must listen and believe. So the first thing you have to attempt is to attempt to fulfill a good word that has been spoken over your life. Because if you don't, it may not be fulfilled. Yes. It may not come to pass. Yes, even though it's been spoken. A lot of things have been spoken, they don't happen. Because the people they've been spoken over didn't believe it. And they didn't walk in it. 2 Peter chapter 1, 10, quickly. Verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Now notice. Let's even read from verse 18 maybe and see. All right, this verse we heard from heaven when we were with him in the Holy Mount. All right. Now we have a more sure word of prophecy. All right. What is this more sure word of prophecy? The more sure word of prophecy is the word of God. Now, whereunto, are you watching?
Yes.
Are you watching the scripture?
Yes.
You will do well, okay? Because you may have a prophecy, but you don't do well.
Yes.
So he said, you will do well that you take heed. Or that you pay attention. If somebody tells you, take heed. Pay attention to what was said. And what is being said. Why? Because the prophecy is like a light shining in a dark place. What it means is that your life is like darkness. And then here comes the light. Jesus said in John 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light of life. That means in this life, you need some light to show you where to go so you don't hit your leg on a sharp iron and you don't step on a rusty nail and you don't step on a cobra or a viper's neck. You understand what I'm saying? You need the light of life because there are painful things. And Jesus is the light of this life. Okay. So in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, whereunto you do well for your life, that you take heed or pay attention to the prophecy, because it is like a light that is shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star appear in your heart. Amen. Now, what until a certain time, you need to listen to these prophecies and the word of God that is coming until the day star. What is the day star? In all these words we use, day that comes in the sky. And it's alone. It's not really a star. It's the planet Venus. And it comes, it's there all alone. And it's bright and it's all on its own. As when it comes, within a short time, within a few minutes, the sun starts to rise. And the same thing is called the evening star. I remember recently I was watching the evening star. The sun will go down. You watch it in the west. Sun, you can see far, the light is going, and you see that the sun is down there. As soon as it goes, then the sky is black, and then it comes on its own. Venus. The evening star. So it signals the evening, beginning of the evening, and it also signals the beginning of the morning. So before there's light and everybody can see, this is the devil, this is God, these are the liars, this is right, this is wrong. You get it? You get it? Before that time comes, you see, the prophecies and the things in the Word of God are the light you depend on. Yes. You see, one day you will see God, you will see heaven, you will see hell. People will be in hell, people will be in heaven. This world will not be as we see it now. It will be gone. The earth and heaven will be dissolved. What you know now will be dissolved. It's just a matter of time. I mean, you can see, even if you don't, even if you are not a prophet. The weapons in 1970-something, we had enough weapons to destroy the world 250 times over in nuclear weapons. And nuclear weapons were discovered after the Second World War. It's not so long. They've made so many. Everybody has enough to destroy the whole world. And the only way they are protecting themselves is to make more so that if you bomb me, I bomb you. This is it. So Europe, because of Hitler, are you with me? Are you still here? Your minds are... Europe is what we call an armed camp. It's a camp of armed nations, heavily armed nations, nuclear power, because of Hitler. Because see, when Hitler came, before Hitler came on the scene, they didn't really believe in war. They didn't believe anybody could do that. So everybody was peaceful. Even Poland, they didn't even have armored cars. They didn't have tanks. They had horses. So when Hitler attacked them with tanks and planes, they sat on the horses and rode out to go and fight with Hitler. I mean, it was a pity. You get what I'm saying? Countries like Spain and, I mean, Italy, they just overrun the countries and bomb them. So after the war, everybody has armed himself. In a country like France, you know, when they invaded France, it took like 6 weeks and just went into France. And then just when they went there, the people in France, the president and so on, they just signed immediately. We surrender, because they didn't want them to bomb. You know, France has, if you go to Paris, how many have been to Paris? You'll be there soon. If you go to Paris, you'll see so many beautiful and ancient buildings. So they didn't want Hitler to bomb them, because it would not be easy to recreate and restore these buildings. So they decided to just surrender in the Second World. So they didn't fight at all. They just surrendered. But after that, one of the topmost nuclear countries is France. Oh yeah, I was once in France and they showed me like underground, all here, for miles underground is nuclear area, nuclear zone. Yeah. Mile underground. They have cities underground. Yeah. Switzerland is look very peaceful. They have planes in mountains. They take off from the mountain. The mountain opening comes out. Yeah. You get it? So one day, this world is going to come to an abrupt end. And after that, we'll all see this is the devil, this is the dragon, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I mean, the sun will come out and we'll see things clearly. Yes, because when the day star comes, you can see day is coming. It's going to be clear. But until then, there's a lot of darkness. And what guides us? What guides us? The prophecy, the words of God. And you do well. You do well. You do well if you take heed and pay attention to the word of God. And when you don't pay attention to the word of God, you are ignoring the light in your dark world. Be a light in this dark world. We are in a dark world and we need guidance. So my life has not been guided by my tradition or by even what my biological father was expecting or what is expected of somebody who grew up where I grew up. No, my life is guided by something else. You know, when I grew up, I went to school. My father said, should go to school. I went. Then he said, I should go to medical school. I went. I had no dream to be a doctor. He said, I should do that. I did it. So when I finished university, then my life, I gave my life to follow a light. You get it? And I've been following that light since then. Yes. First, I followed what daddy and mommy said do. Then after that, I have been following this light. And that's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching. And I'm going around saying what I'm saying. Amen. Are you listening? Beautiful. So, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And one of the sure words of prophecy is that the works that I do, you do those works also. And greater works than the works that I have done shall you do. I mean, you just have to believe it. And you have to live your life following it. Yeah. You know, people don't follow the word of God and they don't follow prophecies. You know, sit down. You know, I was in Korea last week. Right. And as I was there, it's been 23 years since I first went there. 23 years. I've been going to Korea every time Yonggi Cho calls for a conference or a meeting, I'll be there. I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. And I learned also that a lot of people, grown-ups, bigger, senior, better pastors, come humbly to sit there every time there's a meeting. There's nothing like, oh, we are busy, you know, we have this, we have that, we have things to do. Now, when I went first time to Korea, we had a few hundred members in our church. Yes, a few hundred members in our church. And I went and I encountered a church with 700,000 members. Wow. And I saw a huge building. Okay? And I saw, I mean, a church that is real working. Now, this time when I was there, I was just analyzing. And I realized that now our church has also now between 500,000 to 700,000 members. If you look at our UD, all our churches together. Yes. Yes. I was actually surprised. In fact, if somebody wants to visit me in Accra to come to church, I don't know which church the person should attend. Because we are all over and there's many big churches. Yes. And I realized that if you follow something, you know, Jesus said, follow me, I will make you. But you see, people can't follow. People are too disobedient to follow. But if you follow, if you obey, and you keep on following and keep on obeying, in reality, you start to see, because if I'm walking from Sydney to Melbourne, I'm walking and you are following me, all the things I will see, if I see mountains, if I see rivers, if I see lakes, you see the same thing. If I see money, you see money. Yeah, but you say you don't follow, so you don't see the same things. You don't see any of those things that I saw because you are not following me. And I realized following Yonggi Cho all these years, I listened to him. When we went there, he can hardly speak. But I listened to him, whatever he says. To me, I would say he preached one of his greatest messages. People were feeling sad because he wasn't speaking so well. But I was saying to myself that if this is this man's last message, then it's like the Great Commission, exactly. Yes, it was like he was just saying the Great Commission. He was preaching, he said we should plant churches, build a church, pray the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. You know? So, brothers and sisters, I think we need to believe, even if it sounds fantastic, because, like I'm saying, you can't even believe that the things are possible and are real. That they can actually happen. I mean, I have not been here for 8 years. And here I come. All of you are here. I don't know most of you. You know, and I know the attendance and the members. Our members here will be between 3,000 and 4,000, I'm sure. Yes, when we put together the figures. Yeah, members. Is that not so?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of people. And people don't have churches. People don't have NATO. Yeah. But it's like, if you follow, you get it, you'll see. And if you believe, when God gives you a light and say, you do well. Because when the day star comes announcing that the big light is going to come, we'll see the devil clearly and say, you liar. The Bible said the devil would deceive the whole world. Whole world was deceived by the devil. You see him clearly in all his wickedness. Yeah. So for me, I believe that the works that Jesus did, I shall do. And it makes me go towards what he did. Now, some years ago, are you listening?
Yes.
I hope you are listening.
Yes.
You see, when there comes a prophecy on your life, a good prophecy from the word of God or from wherever, and it's not coming to pass, your duty is to take steps to make it come to pass. So one day, I realized that I was a preacher and there were some people listening to me, but I had no miracles. Not even one miracle. And I thought to myself, the works that I do, shall you do also? And I don't see myself doing such works. So what steps am I going to take to be able to do miracles? Because there's a prophecy that I'll do miracles. You get what I'm saying? And so I embarked on a journey to get miracles in my life. A difficult journey though. Very difficult. Very frightening. Yes. So I said, now, what can I do to have miracles? And the first thing I realized that if I'm going to have miracles, I should follow somebody who has miracles. So I decided to see who was the person who I felt had the greatest miracles. Because why follow a lesser version of something when there's a higher version? Why are you using Microsoft version, 1996 version? Microsoft 96. I don't know what they are what they are doing now. Microsoft Word, or I don't know what you are. Windows 10. It, well, that's what's on now, Windows 10. And when was there? It used to be Windows what? Yeah, but there used to be Windows 2. If it's 10, 95, 98, Windows 2000, Windows XP, Windows 7, Windows 8, now Windows 10. Wow. I think you are a science student, right? You're computer science. Wow. So all these things were there. You get it? Windows. How do we get into Windows? Huh? Follow the higher version. Yes. So I decided to follow higher version. And I said, I'm going to follow Catherine Kuhlman. Because that's to me the greatest. I have a book with x-rays and scans. The actual x-rays and the scans of people that were healed by Catherine Kuhlman. So as a doctor, it's the most impressive type of miracles I've ever seen. You know, all of them have the medical things there. Yeah, compiled by a doctor. It's just fantastic to me. You see a cancer and the diversion of the blood vessel like this is supposed to go straight, then the blood vessel goes like this and goes like this because there's a big tumor here. So instead of the blood vessel going straight down, it goes down and it turns like this around the tumor and comes down. And person is dying. And then after the miracle service, the tumor starts to go down, 1 year, 2 years, straight, normal. Yeah. Fantastic. So I said, I'm going to follow her. But then the Holy Spirit told me, don't follow her, follow Benny Hinn. And I said, but I don't understand Ben Hinn when he preaches, because he only preaches from the Old Testament. But, I mean, I had to follow what the Lord was telling me. I understand why now he was telling me to do that. All right? And so I started to follow. Because there was a prophecy that the works that I do, you shall do. And greater works. And I could see, go into the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out the... I couldn't see it happening in my life. You see, I'm telling you, if you are not intentional sometimes about some of the prophecies, you won't see it happening. You just be to be like fairy tales to you. So I'll do greater works. That's all. But no greater works are going to happen to nobody. And then I began to follow Benny Hinn, listening to him all the time. That's how you follow somebody. You follow somebody by following the mind, the heart, and the words of the person. You can't follow somebody into the toilet, follow him into the sitting room, follow him into his house, follow him into his kitchen. That is not following. You can't follow, even in this world, you can't follow somebody to say, hey, go back. They'll call a gun, shoot you just now. Go back. So, as I followed, I began to learn about the anointing. And I began to watch and learn. Because I wanted the prophecy to come to pass. So, the reason why you don't listen to messages, the reason why you don't listen to podcasts, is because you are not following anything. And you are not trying to become anything. And the reason why you don't listen to older camp messages to soak in the word, you know, because you are not trying to become anything or fulfill any prophecy in your life. That's why it's nothing to you. I'm always looking for something to listen to. And I'm always listening to something over and over, because when I listen to it once, I realize that this thing I heard, I didn't get it well. Yes. Now, some of us, we don't need NATO. We are okay. But from today, there's a change in your life. Amen. A following change. Amen. A change in your way of following.
Amen.
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 Sit down, sit down. And then one day, a time came where I realized I have to implement.
Yeah.
You see, people talk a lot, but they don't do. So I said, now I have to have a miracle service. And I've never had a miracle service, nor prayed for anybody. I prayed for somebody to be healed before, but I've never prayed in a church before. It was one of the greatest days of my life. And I decided that this Friday, I'm going to call a service. And I'll pray for the sick. Something I've never done before. But there was a light showing me a prophecy that you will do works, greater works. So that day, I fasted from the morning till the evening. And I was feeling dizzy and frightened. And I went to church. And I preached. And I knew that immediately when I finished preaching, I have to pray for the sick and do exactly what I saw Benny Hinn do. As for preaching, I had been preaching, but I have not prayed for the sick. So, as the preaching was getting to the end, I became more frightened, because what about if I pray for somebody and nobody gets healed? So, I extended the preaching. To preach even longer. But the longer I was extending the preaching, I still had to end. I could not avoid the moment of truth. Are you understanding? And I continued until there was nothing else to say. And then I just had to end. And then I ended and prayed for the sick. And I said, call for people if you are healed. And that moment, I almost died. But there was a prophecy. Yes, that I would do great things. And that prophecy is in the Bible. And I did it. And I think two people came forward, said they were healed. I don't know what, I've forgotten what it was. Headache, something. I was so happy to see them. I could have given them a car each after church. Kalabashaka. Yeah. And that's how it's going to be for you too.
Amen.
Things you watch on a video, you see it happening, it will happen practically.
Amen.
Because you work out the same prophecy to come to pass practically. Just as I saw Yonggi Cho building a big church, and I've been following, and I'm still following. I'm following. Trying to do great things. Try hard. I don't want my life to go by without doing great things for God. Do you want your life to go by without doing great things for God? If nothing great comes out of your life, we're going to sing in heaven for all eternity. Wasted years.
Oh, how foolish have you all. Torn in darkness appear. Turn around. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you from your life of wasted years.
But if you sing that song in heaven, he's not calling you for anything because you think you had one chance. Amen. Now sit down. Did you know that there are many planets, just 9 of them, around the sun? Did you know that the sun is actually just a star? When you go back, you know, we have the sun is there. Then we have Mercury, first one. Then we have Venus. Mercury, no clouds. Remember that, no clouds. It's just rock. Like gray, shiny silver rock, Mercury. Then you come to Venus, which is the most attractive. It's like a girl with a personality disorder. Yes, because I won't tell you if you don't keep quiet. I won't tell you because Venus is the most beautiful. That's the morning star and the evening star. The most beautiful planet. And is a twin of the earth. Same, almost the same size as the earth. And it looks nicer than the earth. It shines and the evening stars. So when you look here, so when you look toward the sun, you see Venus. That's why it's so big. Because you have the sun is the world. Then you have Mercury. Then you have Venus. Then you have us. Then we are here. So we are just two planets away. But you see, Venus is so beautiful. Covered with clouds, shining. But when you go through the clouds, it's raining. And it's not raining water, it's raining acid. Sulfuric acid. That's why I said that it's like, she looks nice from afar, but when you go near, it's acid. Kayabo shakabayadala. Acid burning you. Now listen, sit down please. Then you come to us, Earth, and then you come to Mars, and then Jupiter. Jupiter is not really Jupiter, Saturn, and the rest. They are made of gas. So it's like there's not really anywhere to stand to build a house or anything. But the rest of the planets, you can build a house and all that. But there's nobody there. All right. Then the stars are so far. You can't get there. No, there's no technology you can get to a star. You get it? There's nobody anywhere. We are here, mysteriously. And one day we'll not be on this earth. And we'll be with God wherever he is. You get what I'm saying? Huh. So like, it seems we are here for a reason. It's quite mysterious. Why are we here? What are we doing here? And how long are we going to be here for? And so many diseases killing human beings as we are here. People are living shorter and longer. A lot of people are living longer. A lot of people are living shorter. Yeah. People live longer and shorter. And all this is going on. You know, so there must be something that we're supposed to do. Look, till the light shines, the day star comes, and everything is clear. What this world is about, where God is. So until then, we have this light of prophecy that is to tell us, amen, where we are supposed to be. Okay? All right? Now, take it off. Take it off. Put the scripture on. 2 Peter. You couldn't find the scripture and you are finding planets. I'm finding planets. You couldn't find scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Are you still around?
Yes.
So, the first thing we are going to add is what? The first great thing is what? Huh? Attempt to fulfill great prophecy. Yes. Of your life, isn't it? That the works that Jesus did, you will do. And what? Greater works. Yes. You are going to do greater works.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Is that fantastic?
Fantastic.
Wonderful.